When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 1871 podcast. And on this episode, we're counting down our top five memorable Reading seasons. And that's our own personal favourites. And that is part of our Reading FC Top 100 series, which started on our 100th episode. So far we've done favourite players, favourite games. So on this episode, we're doing our top five personal favourite stroke memorable seasons. So as I say, that started, the Reading FC Top 100 series started on our 100th episode. We've also done a 106 episode. I think I've mentioned before, Johnny, I'm not sure if we'll ever get to 1871 episodes, but but this is, I think I'm right in saying this is our 124th episode. So jeez. I can see us getting to 187 episodes and then adding an extra episode. So that'll be 187 plus one. So see what I did there?
That's very clever.
Yep, so I could see us getting to there. And yeah. talking of which, on that subject, Series 2 of the 1871 podcast is coming to an end on, not sure exactly what date, but it'll be at the end of May. But Johnny and I have been having a chat. We get some very positive comments. We've got our YouTube channel now. Not all the comments are positive, most of them, which is nice. But basically, Johnny and I and Dylan, we do this because we enjoy it. We're Reading fans. You know, we like to kind of represent what the fans are thinking as and when we can. So it looks like we may well be doing a Series 3. So Series 2 is going to end at the end of May. And then possibly what we're going to do is start Series 3 in June. And we talk about all sorts of things, don't we? So on one of our recent episodes, Johnny, we even had some health advice, didn't we? Get yourself checked out.
Yeah. Or,
prostate cancer if you're above 50 and stuff like that. So we like to help Reading fans in general, not always only about the football stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one of the recent episodes that we've had some great comments about, and of course, it's brilliant to get people like Adam Lafondre, Simon Osborne, Jem Karachan. That's fantastic. We love that when we get those guests, Trevor Senior, Martin Hicks, etc., etc., etc. We've had some brilliant guests. Some have been on twice now. So Steve Coppell's been on twice. Brian McDermott's been on twice. Adam Lafondre's been on twice, hasn't he? So.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. But actually, we go a little bit left field sometimes. And we had David Artell, the former crew manager. And the reason that we got David Artell on is firstly because he was on the bookmakers list as a possible next Reading manager. But the main reason really was that we wanted to get an insight from someone who kind of knows how this stuff works onto what the manager recruitment process might be for Reading. We've had some really, really positive comments. And people seem to really like that episode. We did have one comment from someone who made a bit of a joke saying, I wonder what the ex-crew manager thought of the situation, which I thought was quite funny, actually. But, Series 2, a big thing with Series 2 compared to Series 1 is that we've had YouTube. So by far, kind of typical Reading, really, by far our most popular episode on YouTube has been the relegation episode, which has had nearly 5,000 views.
We should get relegated more often. We'd be more popular.
Yeah. plus all the audio downloads, of course. So all the YouTube numbers are visible. You can see how many people viewed it. And where that particular episode is up to almost 500 views. I think it's 4,800 or something like that. So all of those episodes still available to listen to or to watch on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. And feel free to subscribe to our YouTube channel, excuse me, if you'd like to. Now, we mentioned health earlier. And actually, one of the things that prompted me to launch the YouTube channel was we were contacted by Chris Bennett, who is a Reading fan. Chris is deaf. So he said to us, look, I'd love to listen to the podcast, but I can't. You know, I'd love to listen to what all these ex-players have got to say, but I can't. I'm deaf. So is there any way that you can do like a transcript or something like that? So that kind of prompted me to do the YouTube channel because the YouTube channel has subtitles, which means that anyone who's deaf or hard of hearing, so Chris, for example, can now enjoy the podcast. So if you do know anyone that's hard of hearing or deaf, who's a Reading fan or a fan of any club or just interested anyway, then YouTube does have subtitles. There's a little button that you can press. And Chris Bennett was our 1871 quiz champion. So thank you, Chris, because you prompted our YouTube channel. And it's been very popular. And the relegation episode, we've had loads of comments from other clubs. A lot of other clubs. So we've had an Ipswich fan. We've had a Huddersfield fan, Sheffield United, loads of other clubs saying, we feel your pain because we've been there. Even a Sheffield United fan has contacted us and said, we know what you're going through. You'll bounce back. That's been a common theme from fans of other clubs. And the Sheffield United fan said, Reading are now my second team because I found the podcast by accident. I really enjoy it. So thanks for all those comments. That's great. Not just Reading fans. So that's really good. And because Series 1 was audio only, we're actually looking now at putting some of the Series 1 episodes out on our YouTube channel so people can see them, Chris included. So Andy Bernal is our guest next week. We've just put out his episode because that was a really fascinating episode. Andy Bernal, former Reading defender, came over from Australia. He was David Beckham's minder. He talks about he had a cocaine addiction for a while. Really fantastic episode. So that's available now on YouTube. And because it's roughly now 21 years since that famous game at Brentford, the one all, the Jamie Cureton goal that took us up into what's now the Championship. I can't remember. Was it Division One back in those days, Johnny?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But it was so that was the last, that was our last game in the third tier, that game at Brentford, that Jamie Cureton equaliser that got us automatic promotion. So we're checking to see if we've still got the video from the Jamie Curran and the Nicky Forster episodes that we recorded for Series 1. And if we have still got those, then we're going to put those out as YouTube videos. So we're thinking about what we're going to do for Series 2 until the end of May and what we might do in Series 3. So we're going to do an episode when the new manager is announced. And by the way, we think it could well be Chris Wilder. We think actually that the job is his if he wants it. That's something that I've been hearing. But he's also, I think he's in the running for the Hearts job as well. So I looked at the odds and it's similar odds that Chris Wilder is going to be the next Hearts manager. So it's about evens. So we'll see. Johnny, we did our kind of list of potential new Reading managers. And we both said you put Chris Wilder at number one, mm-hmm. as most likely, partly because of the odds. We both think he'd be a good fit for Reading.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think so. Right. I think he's, you know, the experience and what we need, you know, ticks all those boxes.
And I think,
like you say, just if he wants the job, that's you know.
Yeah, it sounds like that might be the case. It sounds like potentially the job's his if he wants it. Yeah. So it might be him deciding whether he wants to come to Reading or Hearts. Now, we think he should come to Reading rather than Hearts because, and I've said, it, part of the appeal with Reading is that a manager can come in, big club in League One, and they can build their own squad, rebuild. Yeah. Yes, Andy Carroll and Tom McIntyre, Tom Holmes, they will inherit some players, but essentially, a bit like back in the days when Alan Pardew was the manager, you know, they kind of built the Reading squad, built some foundations. So that's an opportunity. I think that's an attractive opportunity for a manager. And then the fixtures are out on Thursday, the 22nd of June. I'm really looking forward to that, Johnny. So that's 9 a.m. on Thursday, 22nd of June. So it's not too far away. What game are you looking forward to the most next season?
Obviously the local derby, but for me personally, it's Reading Cambridge away. I get to I'm planning to do a nice walk there, and that's actually an area that I've got a lot of memories of. Lived up there for a long time around there, and I've got friends up there and stuff. So I haven't been back for a long time, so it'd be a good excuse and go back to what's Cambridge's ground called now? A bit different than it was in those days when we saw Dave Kitson stick his fingers up at the Reading fans and he was playing for Cambridge.
Robin Friday did that as well during his time.
Yeah, copycat.
For me, actually, where I live now, so I live in Uxbridge, so Wickham is my closest game next season. Yeah. So I'm already looking at going to the Wickham away game, obviously some home games, Oxford as well. I quite fancy Cheltenham and Exeter away. Good away days. I don't fancy Fleetwood away, if I'm being completely honest. I've been to Fleetwood. Not in a rush to go back.
Rovers as well would be a good game.
Yeah, Bristol Rovers as well. Stevenage would be. I don't really want to. I've not got a burning desire to go to Stevenage, but that'd be an interesting game.
Yeah.
But we could go on. We're going to talk about that on a future episode. So, talking about something that's happening next week. So the guests that are coming up and the episodes coming up. So tomorrow, we've got our top five greatest Reading managers, and again, it's a slight twist on that. It's part of our Reading FC Top 100 series, and it's actually rather than strictly the greatest five Reading managers that we think, it's kind of our sort of favourites as well. So it's not strictly speaking the top five greatest Reading managers. It's who we think had the biggest impact for Reading, which may well be exactly the same as the top five greatest Reading managers. So that's tomorrow. On Monday, we're speaking to former Reading technical director, Brian Teverden. Thanks to Johnny, who set that one up. And that'll be really interesting because Brian Teverden was at Reading as technical director when Ron Gourlay came in as chief executive. And Brian Teverden, let's just say he doesn't rate Ron Gourlay. He's not alone there, is he? I think a lot of people at West Brom feel the same as well.
Yeah.
So that'd be really interesting. So that's Monday, Brian Teverden. Tuesday, we're completing our Reading FC Top 100 series by looking at the top five influential people in Reading's history. So I'm looking forward to that one. Wednesday, we've got a returning guest, Andy Bernal, former Reading defender. Thursday, we've got Reading women's defender Lily Woodham. So she'll be talking about, obviously, Reading women who look like they're probably going to be relegated. But we're going to talk to Lily about this season and Reading women. So looking forward to that one. And then on Friday, really looking forward to this. Again, Johnny set this one up. Linvoi Primus, regarded by many Reading fans who remember seeing him play as one of Reading's greatest defenders, I think, Johnny.
Yeah, and went on to have a brilliant career. You know, yeah. He played at top level for a long time. Probably wasn't his best of his career at Reading, but it was kind of the start into where he went on to. And look forward to that one. It'll be a really good one.
So before we start on our five memorable Reading FC seasons. John, are you watching the playoffs?
No.
Not bothered.
No, I've got no interest. I haven't got time.
I'll tell you what, it was a good game last night for two reasons. So firstly, Peterborough, they just scraped into the playoffs. So they opened Sheffield Wednesday, who for a while were top of the championship. Peterborough 4, Sheffield Wednesday 0 in the first leg. That's like the lottery of the playoffs, really. So it looks like Sheffield Wednesday staying in the championship. You never know, but looks like Peterborough in the final. And also, I think that is an encouraging sign for Reading because Peterborough went down last season, didn't they? So
yeah.
All the three teams that went down last season have done well. So two in the playoffs. Derby just missed out. It was Derby or Peterborough on the last day of the season to get into the playoffs. Peterborough did it. I think, ironically, whatever Sheffield Wednesday's result on the last day of the season meant that Peterborough got into the playoffs and then Peterborough thrashed them 4-0. So anyway... So, I'll be watching the playoffs. So there's a bit more football to go. And then we thought about it. We thought, well, like Reading haven't got any games now for a while. So let's keep the podcast going. And we can't see any games, but we can certainly talk about stuff. So, we'll carry on doing that for a while. So, look, without further ado, Johnny, let's now have a look at our five memorable Reading F seasons. Reading FC seasons, and these are our personal favourites. Yeah. So they're memorable for personal reasons. Not necessarily in the same order as that we put our all-time greatest Reading seasons, but I think there'll be a bit of a crossover. And Johnny, I think this one was a little bit easier than the top 10 memorable games, but choosing the order was not straightforward. Did you find this one a bit easier than choosing the 10 games?
Again, it's like personal reasons rather than result reasons. Yeah. Sure. And that's I think the difference. People go, well, why you pick that season for? But it's personal to me or you, or as it would be for other people, they'd pick seasons that meant something for them. And that's the beauty of it.
That's football
for you.
And I'm sure a lot of times, if there are any younger Reading fans listening who, you know, weren't even born with some of the stuff that we talk about, they think, oh yeah, it's old people talking about old Reading stuff. But I think that's this podcast isn't about old people talking about old Reading stuff, but it is about, you know, reminiscing. So it's the 1871 podcast. Name obviously reflects the fact that, you know, Reading were founded in 1871. We're not old enough to go that far back with our memories, of course. Me, I'm a bit closer than Johnny. But, yeah, I think it's about, you know, probably most of the guests we've had on have been ex-Reading players, some ex-Reading managers, a few ex-Reading coaches. And it's just really good to reminisce, like you said, Johnny, and you talked about your favourite games, including games that you went to see with your dad, for example. Yeah. So that's what it's all about. So that we know there are a lot of inverted commas older Reading fans that listen and watch the podcast. So we've had ex-players going back to the 70s, haven't we? Laurie Sanchez and Bob Leonard Dutsey, Mike Kearney. So we've gone back quite a long way. So anyway, yeah, as Johnny said there, and just to clarify, this list includes our own personal choices for our top five favourite / memorable Reading FC seasons, rather than being strictly a countdown of the greatest ever Reading seasons. But on that note, Johnny, what do you reckon you would say are the top three greatest Reading FC seasons of all time?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of probably obvious ones. The first two Premier League seasons. The promotion to the Premier League first time around, and that first season in the Premier League when we really were at the best, would be 2-1. And then I think, even though it didn't prove to be successful in the end, the 94-95 season when we got to the playoff final, because I think that was the first time Reading were really on them, the big stage as such. And, you know, again, typical Reading, like we said before, that any time, you know, the second team doesn't get promoted and we're second. And I think, you know, we've had, you know, a lot of people we've had on, you know, talked to and at the time and special time at the club.
If we're not doing a countdown of the greatest Reading seasons on this episode, but of those three seasons, which order would you put those in from 3-1, Johnny?
I'd say obviously the 94-95 would be third, and then the 2005 promotion second. I think if we hadn't done so well in the promotion in the first season in the Premier League, then that would have been first. But that just took it to another level, didn't it? To get on the verge of Europe, which I don't think anyone would have just gone, let's stay up. That's really brilliant.
We were 1 point from getting into Europe.
Yeah, it used to be Blackburn. Yeah. So that to me is just the peak, you know, of what Reading have done.
So I, in terms of what I think are Reading's three greatest seasons of all time, and we're going to obviously come on to our personal favourites, our personal memorable seasons, but I think my kind of top three greatest Reading seasons in the club's history. So I would go for number three, the 2012 promotion to the Premier League, because, you know, I agree with you that, 94-95 was a brilliant season and the season before. But I think the fact that we went up to the Premier League, and I can remember seeing the first time I saw Jason Roberts play for Reading, I thought, wow, I didn't realise he was that good. So I go that as my number three. Number two, I agree with you. I thought you'd do it the other way around, actually, but I agree with you. I think
if you'd ask me in an hour's time, I'd probably change my mind back to that one.
so I'd go number two, the 106 season, and number one, for pretty much the same reasons as you, Johnny. I think Reading's greatest ever season. Yeah. And you could, a lot of Reading fans would do it the other way round, and I understand that. But I think Reading's greatest ever Reading season was first season in the Premier League, finishing eighth. I think that topped the previous season.
Yeah, yeah.
So look, Johnny, before we start our countdown of our own personal top five memorable Reading seasons, for me, I've got a couple that I thought about that didn't actually make my top five. Have you got, one or two seasons that didn't make it onto your list that you that are kind of personal favourites?
Probably just again because of history, again, narrow it down to different choices. It's just what it meant to me at the time. The couple that that would be obviously the it's kind of narrowing down because a lot of the seasons that I went to games meant a lot. The early 2000s seasons. The one where we got to the playoffs with Pards in the Championship was a great season. Obviously, that didn't turn out well in the end. And then, in a weird way, the season where after we got relegated, and we ended up seventh, I think, in the playoff. After we got relegated the last time in 2012, whatever it was, we got close. But there's so many I could be here for hours. It's just like what comes into my head at the time, and I'm going, well, yeah, that was. But it's difficult. It's difficult when you've watched them for so long, like we have.
There is, and I think for a lot of fans, and we had a quick chat before we started recording this episode. Those three that we mentioned, greatest ever Reading seasons, let's see, they may well all be on our two lists. Johnny doesn't know what my top five is. I don't know what Johnny's top five is. So this is our top five favorite stroke memorable seasons for personal reasons. So for me, a couple of the seasons that I considered that aren't in there included the 2011-2012 Championship winners' season, promotion back to the Premier League. I would go so far as to say that Jason Roberts coming in midway through the season got us promoted. He signed in January from Blackburn. The story I heard is that Brian McDermott, on a very late night with, I think the owner at the time was Zingarevich, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He said to Anton Zingarevich, he said, "If you let me sign Jason Roberts, we'll get promoted." I know this because I went to Brian's presentation recently in Henley with Russell Brand. And he talked about this, and he said it was a drunken late night. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and he woke up the next day and he thought to himself, "Did I actually say that to Anton Zingarevich?" And then Anton Zingarevich agreed, and it worked. So that one isn't on my list. The other one, kind of an obvious choice and will be a favourite season for many Reading fans, I'm sure, didn't quite make it onto my list, is the last time Reading were promoted up into the second tier from what is now League One. 21 years ago, 2002, it was Division Two, back then it was called. Second place, automatic promotion, that Jamie Cureton equaliser at Brentford. So that was the last game that Reading played in the third tier. So they didn't quite make it onto my list. So, Johnny, let's start our countdown.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Of our top five personal favourite stroke memorable Reading FC seasons. Do you want me to go first or do you want to go first?
I'll go first this time, shall I, for a change?
Right. Okay. Number five.
So, fifth then, Number five might be a surprise to people, but the 96-97 season. And the reason being, basically, I wasn't a poor student anymore. So I could actually start going really regularly properly to games. You know, and that's when I really kind of, you know, the addiction to Reading really kicked in. You know, before, as you know, I was a student, I was living all over different places, so I couldn't go regularly to games. But that season, I just qualified as a nurse and living up in Huntingdon, I think, from memory. And I was able to, you know, go to a lot of games that season and that, you know, Elm Park. Like, the season was a horrible season, you know, after what happened the season before, and it was, you know, we were struggling for quite a while. We ended up staying up fairly comfortably in the end. And at the time, I think one of the games that season, and I think which one of my people would know, it might have been QPR. I remember Lenny Henry being on the pitch doing something for some TV show, and I was like, this is a bit surreal. Somebody watching this might remember exactly the game. I think it was QPR, B121. But then the other thing for that season, I think it was we played, we won 2-0 at home to Grimsby, and I think it was Neville Roach's debut, and he scored. And I was like, oh.
No relation.
And I thought, no. And I thought at that time, he's going to be one for the future because he had the pace, you know, on that debut game. Obviously, it didn't work out. But that was football. That was, you know, for me, that was when I was really, really hooked as somebody that could go to games and afford to go to games. So that's why it's my number five.
Talking to Neville Roach, he has said he will come on as a guest at some point. I've got I don't know if you'd say it's a funny story, interesting story, but myself, my dad and my brother, we've all got a background as football writers. So there was one game, my dad, Brian Roach, former Reading director, as many of you know, he used to kind of run the press box at Reading home games. So he used to organise, you know, if a national newspaper wanted to send a reporter down, he'd kind of arrange that. So he was really well known in the press box. Myself and my brother used to go along quite a lot as well. So it was Roach, Roach and Roach in the press box, and Roach scored. So Neville Roach, no relation. So three Roaches in the press box and one on the pitch. So Reading was infested by Roaches that day. Another story. So look, my number five. Looking forward to when Neville Roach comes on. He's a DJ now. I can't remember what his DJ name is, but he plays, I think it's soul and Motown music, stuff like that. So looking forward to speaking to Neville when he comes on at some point. My number five is the 93-94 season. Reading were Division Two champions by 1 point from Port Vale. That season, Jimmy Quinn scored 40 goals. The only time that a player had scored 40 more than 40 previously was Trevor Senior, got 41. But Jimmy Quinn that season got 40 goals. Stuart Lovell got 22. I don't know if you remember much about that season, Johnny, but Reading actually had a really, really good start.
Yeah. So they
won six of their first eight games. And there was a lot of high-scoring games that season. So I'm just looking down now. 3-0 away to Huddersfield. That would have been handy, wouldn't it? This season just gone. 4-1 against Barnet, 4-2 against Bradford, 6-4 against Exeter away, 4-0 away to Port Vale, 3-0 against Bournemouth, 4-0 against Hartlepool, 4-1 away to Hartlepool, and 4-0 at Blackpool. And, you know, I loved that team. As many Reading fans who've been fans, you know, since back then and before feel the same. So you had Shaka Hislop in goal, Dylan Kermalord, left back, A.D. Williams, Phil Parkinson, Jeff Hopkins, Mick Goodin, Michael Jilks, Scott Taylor, Kevin Dillon, Ray Ranson, Ray Ranson, Keith McPherson, Tom Jones, and Uwe Hartenberger. Do you remember him?
Classy.
Two Uves were playing at that time, and Middlesbrough had Uwe Fuchs.
Yeah.
As well. So I don't know of any Uves that have played for Reading or Middlesbrough since then, but certainly there were two at that time. So my number five is the 93-94 season. How about your number four, Johnny?
Yeah, number four was the get your maths right now. The 99-2000 season. Again, I mentioned it before. One of the personal things was that I managed to go to a game with my dad before we passed that season. But for me, you know, I been able to go to, you know, every game. I had a season ticket back then when I was living in England and going with my mates to the games. And it was a horrible season. It started off horribly. But to me, like I think I've said before, without Caskey's goals that season, we could have gone down to League Two as it was then, you know, now, whatever. And, you know, that started some of the momentum for where we went on from there, the following season where we hit playoffs to the following season where we got the promotion. And it was a real turning point, I think, in our history at that time where we'd gone down from Elm Park to League One, kind of not really, you know, Tommy Burns was there and it just didn't work for whatever reasons as football happens, but it's good to maybe two seasons. And then Pards came in. I remember Matt Robinson came in, Sammy Igo. I think it was after Christmas, my memory, that we were down the bottom and really struggling. Martin Allen came in and it gelled. And we went on a run that rest of that season that, you know, I think we were comfortably mid-table from memory or whatever. But it just, you know, it was a defining point in our career, in our history, where it could have gone bang and it could have gone down. And God knows where that would have ended up. But luckily, it went the other way. And, you know, Caskey's one of my favourites and I'm still trying to find anyone that can get him on here. But, yeah, and I love watching him play in the team. And it was lots of different personal memories of the games. You know, the games were, it was no amazing, you know, victories, if you like. It was just a season of Caskey's free kicks. And it meant a lot for me because of, you know, my dad, bless him, and at that time, you know, looking back now where we were, it was like, geez. And now, you know, here we are 23 years later and we're at a defining point again, aren't we?
Yeah, and you made a really good point there that, you said it was because of Darren Caskey's goals that kept us up. So Reading could have gone to the new stadium, the Madejski Stadium, as it was called back then, would have been Division Three, wouldn't it? What is now League Two.
Yeah.
Club. But I, you know, I've got a slightly different opinion about what you said about Darren Caskey's goals keeping us up. I reckon it was a bit to do with Martin Allen and getting the players watching an imaginary game.
Oh, yeah, that must have done it.
It was John Mackey. We had John Mackey on as a guest. And that's the story. Because we always like, you know, any time we get a player on who was a player at Reading at the same time that Martin Allen was there, we usually ask him a Martin Allen story. And I think John Mackey's was one of the funniest. He said that Martin Allen got them all to sit in the stadium. And he said, right, I want you to pretend that you're watching a game. So now, pretend that you're watching yourself playing on the pitch and you've just done something really good. So I want you to stand up and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, well done. And pretend that you're a fan looking at yourself playing. So John Mackey was saying that. So I stood up, I said, oh, yeah, well done, John. Good header. And then the other players did the same. And he said, now I want you to stand up. You know, imagine that you're a fan watching yourself and you've just done something not very good. And he got all the players to stand up and start hurling abuse at their imaginary selves on the pitch. And I thought that was one of the funniest.
Absolutely brilliant.
There are a few. So that's your number four.
Four, yeah.
Countdown. My number four on my list of my favourite stroke memorable Reading seasons is the 94-95 season, Division One, as it was called then, now the Championship. Reading were second, so following on from winning the Division Two championship, the Division Two being Division Two champions the season before. Any other season, Reading finished second, they would have gone up automatically to the Premier League. But there was a restructure, so it was only the top team went up automatically. Because I think it was because they were reducing the size of the Premier League, Johnny. Is that right? From 20 to 20 or 21 to 20 or something like that?
Yeah.
So, it was a fantastic season. 1995 playoff final. I think in the semi-finals we beat Tranmere, didn't we? Really memorable semi-final, two legs against Tranmere. So we finished second that season, 3 points behind Middlesbrough. But that was a brilliant team to watch. Some great wins. And so you had a 4-0 against Stoke, the 4-2 against Wolves. Classic game, you know, one of many memorable wins against Wolves. One of the games that I remember, because I was doing, I don't know if you know this, Johnny, but I was, for a while, I was a reporter for Classic Gold, which was sort of, I think it was something to do with Radio 210 or some. Anyway, it was a radio station and I was met in. So I went up to Middlesbrough. Obviously, Middlesbrough won the league that season, went up to the Premier League. I remember one time, I think it was after that game, actually, where it was Bob Morrison, the sports editor at Classic Gold. He said, right, are you ready? Is Jimmy Quinn available? And I said, oh, he's not quite ready. And then Bob Morrison, I heard him do his introduction. Oh, and now Reading have won 1-0, and he did quite a long introduction. And now we'll speak to Jimmy Quinn. And I'm thinking, no, he's not here yet. He's not. So it was silence. And Bob Morrison said, oh, bit of a technical glitch there. We'll come back to him. And then Jimmy Quinn turned up, you know, a few seconds after that. And then they did some adverts and they played some music. And Jimmy Quinn was standing there for about 5 minutes, twiddling his thumbs. We eventually got him onto Classic Gold. So that didn't quite go to plan. But yeah, 1-0 away to Middlesbrough, one of the most memorable games that season. Another one, 4-1 away to Watford. And Reading that season, they won their last four games of the season. And of course, we all remember 2-0 up in the final at Wembley. Stuart Lovell, penalty was, he didn't miss it. It was saved, wasn't it? Lee Nogan and A.D. Williams have put Reading 2-0 up. And then, of course, Bolton come back 2-2, sent the game into extra time. It was 4-3 in the end. Jimmy Quinn came on as a sub and scored. And again, I mean, you know, a lot of the players from the previous season, but you also had Darius Dovcek, one of the greatest centre-backs in Reading's history. Jimmy Quinn and Stuart Lovell up front that season. Yeah, Paul Holsgrove, Simon Osborne, one of my favourite all-time Reading players. Shaka Hislop in goal, Scott Taylor, Keith McPherson, another of my favourite all-time Reading songs. Keith McPherson. And I can't sing, but it's fairly typical of how Reading fans sing it. Tom Jones, Uwe Hartenberger was still playing. James Lambert as well. So that's my number four season is the 94-95 season where we almost went up to the Premier League, just missed out. What's your number three, Johnny?
Number three is, again, another something that means a lot to me, the 2001-2002 season. The memory of the Brentford game and being there will never go from me. And I still remember, and I know anyone that was there, I was behind the goal and I saw you get Cureton lob the ball, but you couldn't see it go in. Or you could see it go across and you just see the people in front of you. And then eventually you just, the noise came back up to you in the stand that it had gone in. It was just, I mean, again, like that finish, unbelievable finish in the just so nonchalant, just dinked it. And to do it like that was unreal. But that season was just, I think the work that we were just the last 10 games, we were running away with it. And it just, every game, I think we drew
10 games, nine, wasn't it? Was it 10?
We won one out of 10 games. I think it was Chesterfield, like, where we won 2-0. We had 9 draws in 10 games. And it was like, just get it done, please. And then, of course, it comes down, as it always does, but to the last game of the season. But it was an iconic, you know, where, you know, Pardew was, you know, we'd gone so close the season before. And, you know, Rudy talked about that own goal. And, you know, we were building momentum. And then, you know, that season, we started really well. You know, we had some characters in that team as well. You know, guys that are, you know, obviously Parky, Andy Hughes, John Solarco was there. You know, we had strikers galore, Butler, Forster, Curran. It was a team that, you know, they just had that pride in playing for Reading. And you looked at that team and we looked like we could score at any time, and we had the creativity and we had the defenders. We had the three 80s, wasn't it? 85 Ash, 80 Williams and 80 Whitbread. Phil Whitehead in goal, who probably, you know, goes a bit under the radar as what he did for Reading, but solid keeper who, you know, kept us in a lot of games that season as well. And then obviously you had Nicky Shorey starting out, Mertz, you know, players that would become legends that started out, you know, those kind of couple of seasons. And really, you know, it was unbelievable. When obviously my dad passed not long after we got promoted, so that's, you know, it is a personal thing to me that those two seasons that I've mentioned are things that will always stick with me, regardless of the results. But that one was just, you know, and to get to watch it on, what was it? What was the ITV digital, wasn't it?
Because that was Griffin Park, ground, and they had four pubs. They had a pub on
each. That's right, yeah. And we went to each one.
Went to all four. I don't think you were the only one. I think there's plenty of away fans that have done that.
It was a funny all ground.
Before and after the game.
Yeah, it was an unusual ground, but it was, it was just, I think it was like, even then, and the next day, it's like, we've done it. It was the...
Yeah, you mentioned Phil Whitehead, bit of an unsung hero. I think if we did an episode, and here's an idea, unsung heroes, I think Martin Butler is potentially one of the greatest unsung heroes that's
great.
Read him because, you know, he wasn't the quickest. He was about 6'2" or something. Wasn't the greatest in the air, but he was a really intelligent player, wasn't he?
Him and Curran up front.
I don't think he was underrated for Reading fans, but I think generally, he possibly did, because everyone talks about, you know, Nicky Forster, obviously Jamie Curran, that goal. But I think Martin Butler was key to Reading's success that season. And look, you know, what Reading went on to do next, it was only a few seasons later, we were in the Premier League. And imagine if, you know, Jamie Curran, you can imagine a situation and you don't know what would have happened after that. But what if sliding doors?
Yeah.
Keeper had saved it, or because that was a brilliant goal because of the significance. It was just a great goal anyway, but it's a sort of finish because he kind of did it with the outside of his right foot. That can easily go wrong.
Yeah. And,
you know, we might have never got to the Premier League after.
Well, if we'd gone into the playoffs, we definitely wouldn't have gone up, would we?
So. No. But we might have got to Wembley and then lost.
Yeah, it's just a change. It was one of those moments.
And then the other thing is, it wasn't Jamie Curran scores and then it's all over. There was about 15 minutes to go or something, wasn't there?
So
you were at the game, standing behind that goal, weren't you?
Me and my friend Rob were there.
How were your nerves in the last 15 minutes?
It was the start of my hair journey, probably.
And was it... it was, Yeah, was it? Was it? Can you remember? Was it a case that Brentford then kind of really went for it in the last 15 minutes? Can you remember?
To be honest, I could be wrong, but like it wasn't like back to the door for the last 15 minutes. They weren't under Highlanders under pressure. They had a couple of chances, but we did as well. I remember, I think Forster got fouled on the edge of the box, and the referee never gave it. And there's no blatant foul you could give. And we had a couple of chances as well to win it. It was kind of an open game still. It wasn't like we then sat back and went, right, we've got a draw. I think that maybe down the way the Pirates played, it was like they just carried on playing the way they were. And I think, you know, they trusted when Brentford scored that first goal, when you're going, oh, God. But you kind of, you had the belief because you went, you've got Kiritan on the bench. You know, we've got goals in the team. You've got Solanke that creates.
He was so calm, wasn't he? It was like, it was almost like a finish that he would try in training on it.
Oh. Yeah. And it was like, I think he was itching to prove a point as well, wasn't he, to the Bards?
Yeah.
It'd been, you know, him and a bit of a difficult relationship at times. But yeah, you know, you had, and I think that's what Red Reading need to get back to in this era. You know, those players on that pitch, we had so many leaders. It wasn't one leader of a team. We had Whitehead, we had the defenders.
I don't think, Johnny, there's any point us doing an episode about Reading super subs because it's only between Jamie Kiritan and Adam Lafondra, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't think Uwe Hartenberger quite reached that level, did he?
No. No. Well, at least he got a mention.
Yeah.
No. Probably it would be between Adam Lafondra and Jamie Kiritan. Yeah.
Imagine them two playing together in their peak. Been interesting.
Well, I think actually, if you think of the partnership that season, so you have Butler and Kiritan, you have Butler and Forster. So for Butler next season, you've got Andy Carroll. We need a Nicky Forster or Jamie Kiritan, don't we? We need to sign somebody like that to play a lot. Yeah. We don't know what the formation's going to be. Depends on who the new manager is. But
we had Darius Henderson as well that season. Remember him, Darius? He was a good striker as well. And you know, just starting out, and he came on and scored a few goals as well. Different type of player again, but like those options, you had options, and you could change the dynamic of the team because you had the depth. You know, and that's where you need to look at a squad, isn't it? At last, be looking at type of strikers, type of wingers. Do we get proper wingers in?
So moving on to top three, so the countdown from 3 to 1, so that was your number three, wasn't it?
That's right.
So my number three is the 2005-2006 106 season. Championship winners, amazing season. Dave Kitson scored 22 goals. And of course, Reading lost the first game against Plymouth 2-1. At that point, Johnny, lose the first game. Did you think we had a chance of going up?
God, no. I was working, I was on the night shift in Oz, and I was watching the cricket at the time, the Ashes, and I was like, oh, we lost 2-1. Oh, another season like this then. And then it was just, it was bizarre, wasn't it? It's so unreal to see what happened afterwards.
Yeah. Well, this season might be higher if for the fact that I wasn't living in Dubai. So I was following the season and I got back to see. I can't really remember, to be honest, but the main thing I remember about that season was all I was really interested in is the chance for Reading to go up to the Premier League. So I was doing my working out, you know, what the maximum points that the other teams could get at the end of the season. I didn't care about records, or wasn't really too bothered about if Reading won it. It was just about automatic promotion to the Premier League. And they did it. So lost the first game 2-1 against Plymouth, which was at home, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last-minute winner.
But then, 33 games unbeaten until mid-February, including 10 wins in a row.
Yeah.
Just an amazing season. Actually, going back to your when you were talking about that Jamie Hureton season, that game, I think, am I right in saying that Steve Copper was Brentford manager and Brentford had Ivar Ingemarsson and...
Yeah, and Sidwell.
Was Sonk playing as well?
Sidwell was there, Sonk was there, I think, and what's his name? Scored and went to Reading afterwards, who we've had on here. It's shocking memory. Lloyd Owusu.
Lloyd Owusu, yeah.
Yeah, so there was a real depth there. So, you know, we got promoted ahead of them and we stole all their players. Brilliant. And the manager.
Imagine for one moment, and Reading have had plenty of heartaches. Imagine for one moment being a Brentford fan. Not only do you give away a late, from the Brentford perspective, you give away a late goal, and then Reading take your manager and half your team.
Yeah. They're doing it right now, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they're doing. But it's kind of a cycle. Yeah. There'll be another team that does what Brighton and Brentford are doing.
Yeah.
You know, and it could be somebody random. Look at Newcastle with the new ownership. You've only got to get somebody. I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe Reading will get a new owner. We've had plenty of owners, you know, in the last few years, haven't we? So it's not been around a possibility. But that's my number three. So as I say, there was a run of 10 wins in a row. Reading just couldn't stop winning. There were apart from the first game of the season, there was only one other defeat, wasn't there?
Yeah, Luton away. I remember watching it in Scruffy Murphy's in Sydney, showing off to my friends how great the team was, and then they lost.
Yeah.
Typical.
So some of the games that season, so there's a 3-0 win away to Ipswich, 3-0 home win against Luton. I think one of the best games that season was the 5-1 home win against Brighton. Beat Cardiff 5-1, 4-0 against Norwich, 2-0 against Southampton, 3-0 against Burnley, 5-0 against Derby, 5-2 away to Cardiff. And then, of course, 2-1 against QPR. Graham Murty penalty and rugby tackle on the mascot, and everyone like jumped on top of him. Memorable game for sure. And Reading actually finished that season 11 games unbeaten, 106 points. Can you remember who's second that season?
It was Sheffield United.
Yeah, Sheffield United, 90 points. There was 16 points behind.
Crazy.
So that's my number three. So your number two, Johnny.
Yeah, you mentioned it as one of the ones you didn't. Mine was actually the promotion season, the second promotion season to the Premier League. Again, you know, I wasn't at a lot of those. I was living over in Oz. But at the time, I guess, you know, my eldest was born during that season. and it was such a, you know, a few seasons there that come up to that point where, you know, we had Brendan Rodgers in as manager and it didn't work out. And then Brian came in. And I always remember, you know, the sort of start of that where we went on a run to stay up and he turned Shane Long into, you know, he got him playing really well. We went up to Liverpool. We beat him in the cup. We went on a couple of cup runs. And then that season was just bipolar football at its best. The first half of it was we were struggling and just, you know, it didn't gel. We couldn't, you know, we had some okay results, but it just wasn't. And then we went on that run and something stupid, wasn't it? Like 54 out of 60 points or something around those numbers. And it just grew. And I was lucky to come back for the West Ham game onwards of that run. I didn't go to some, but I was there at the Forest game and the Palace game at the end of the season. But it was just a time in my life where, you know, came out to Ireland to see family and over to England to introduce my little one, or my big one now, as she is. And it was just unbelievable that team, because it wasn't, I don't think it wasn't the team of 2005. I don't think it had the same quality of players,
but it had the mentality of Brian, wasn't it? That they don't get beaten. We're not giving up. And they had leaders again that, you know, people, you know, like guys like Casper Gorts, Ian Hart, Feds, you know, they had that spine of a team that was so good. And then you said, like, you know, when the icing on the cake, that probably, you know, if he didn't sign, maybe we wouldn't have gone up Jason Roberts. He really just took it. His experience, his knowledge, wasn't it, and a striker.
Yeah.
And him and Hunty up front playing well together. And then, like you say, like that super sub, maybe he doesn't like probably the label, but when, you know, when you needed a goal that season, Adam Lafondra came on, did it. He's still scoring.
He scored. Last four games in a row, or last five games in a row, or something.
Yeah, scored.
I saw one of his goals. I think it was. I think it might have been a corner. They played a derby. They're in the. It's sort of like a play. It works differently over there. So he's playing for Sydney FC, and they're playing in what they call the playoff, the finals series.
Yeah,
and it's like a playoff, but it's sort of everyone gets to the end of the season. Somebody wins the league, but then everyone goes into and like a knockout. The top six teams or whatever go into a knockout tournament.
Yeah,
and whoever wins that is the champions. So they had like
grand final.
They have the grand final, and they had. So I think they're into the final now.
They're in the semis.
And they might play against Central Coast Mariners, who Andy Bernal's a coach there. Is that right?
Yeah. I think he's sporting director or owner.
They might play each other. They might meet in the final. And Andy Bernal's a guest next week. I saw one of the goals that he scored. I think it was a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not the tallest player.
No.
But he rose above everyone else, flicked it in. It was a great goal. If he'd scored that for Reading now, that would have been, you know, brilliant, brilliant goal. He's still got it.
Yeah. And the other one was a retaken penalty in the first leg against Melbourne. And, you know, it was gone for encroachment, but under pressure to retake it, put it in the same place, but scored.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, he's, I mean, I've watched the A-League for years. I was over there watching it when it first, you know, and to see how it's grown and, you know, been to the grand finals. I've seen Dwight York play Robbie Fowler, but Adam Lafondra, you know, he's so well-liked.
A legend, isn't he? He's got a chance. Yeah. He was saying when he was on as a guest, he's got a chance of getting a goal-scoring record there, the most ever goals for Sydney. Had a bit of a setback because of injury, but anyway, going back to that season, Johnny, I think Jason Roberts made the difference, but also Brian McDermott, when I saw the presentation he did on his recovery from addiction in Henley recently with Russell Brand, it was really good. He talked a lot about Reading and he talked about that season, and he said sort of midway through the season, Reading we're not doing that well. And he said to his wife, he said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And she said, win the next game. And he thought, you know, of all the coaches I've worked with, that's one of the best things I've ever heard.
Always listen to your wife. There you go.
so actually what he did, based on that, what his wife said to him, win the next game, he then labelled it WNG. So what he did, he went in, he got everyone together, all the players. He said, right, we've got whatever it is, 16 games to go. We need to win. You know, we want to win all 16. Or they had 18 games to go and they wanted to win 16. That was what he worked out that they needed to go up automatically or something like that. And then, so he was talking, he doing his presentation, he was talking to, because it was kind of to do with mental health and stuff like that as well, and how the brain works. And he says, so we did that. And he said, you know, we needed 16 wins out of 18 or whatever it was. And he said, you know, we didn't, unfortunately, we didn't achieve it. we only managed 15 wins out of 18 or something like that. But yeah, that was a season of two halves. And I think the difference was Jason Roberts.
Yeah. And what momentum does in football or in any sport, isn't it? And confidence. And yeah.
Reading now on a run of, what is it? How many games without
13,
a win?
13?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, it shows you how it can change. Like, you know, we talk about Neil Warnock and Huddersfield, didn't it? When he came in, same players that were doing badly, different mindset, off on a run. Yeah, and that's the psychology of sport, isn't it? It's a fascinating thing.
Yeah, and that's what we need, isn't it? Next season, well, in the summer, the appointment of the managers, that's why it's so important. Mm-hmm. We've got to kind of got to lay the foundations down. And I go back to that episode with David Artell.
Mm.
You know, what he said when he went in and did the rebuilding job at Crewe is actually spends time getting to know the players. And I think probably that's what Neil Warnock did.
Yeah.
Huddersfield. Yeah. You know, he got to know the players. And you've got, if you think back to that season, that Jamie Cureton season, and, you know, it's about players really wanting it. That's such a huge difference, isn't it?
Yeah, and setting standards. I think that's where, you know, the top managers, they have a level of expectation from the players, and the players want to do it for them and want to do it for themselves.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to go.
Do you know what? One thing I like about our countdowns, Johnny, is that we don't know what we say, right, we're going to do this episode. So we're going to do, so this episode is, the next episode is our 10, you know, memorable Reading seasons. Games. This one's our 5 memorable Reading seasons. None of them, like even with the managers, that some of them are the same. So our favourite Reading players, some of them are the same. But there's a lot of differences. That's one thing I like, because you've got your memories, I've got my memories. We've got our own personal favourites. So there is a bit of a mixture. We both had. For who we think might be next Reading manager, we both had, who was it at number 3? Nathan Jones, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We both had him at number 3. We both had Chris Wilder in the top 2. Mm. That's part of what makes this interesting, is that we've got different choices. So
yeah, absolutely.
So that was your second choice, right?
Yeah.
Second place on my list of my favourite stroke most memorable Reading seasons is the 2006-2007 season. First season in the Premier League, Reading finished 8th. And I was still living in Dubai, but we could watch all of the Premier League games. So I used to watch most of the Reading games. I came back a few times. I saw the 6-0 against West Ham. I remember I saw the game against West Brom. I think we might have won 3-2. Can't remember.
Yeah.
I saw us beat Wigan. Might have been 3-0. Can't remember. But I came back for at least 3 games, including the 6-0 against West Ham on New Year's Day 2007. But apart from that, I got to watch, I think, pretty much all, if not most of the Reading games on TV. So even though I was in Dubai, I was able to follow the team, which I hadn't been the season before, because it was the, you know, was it a championship back then?
Yeah, Coca-Cola Championship, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
So I could watch all the Reading games. And what a brilliant season that was. So Reading, first season in the Premier League, won the first game, 3-2 against Middlesbrough. Gareth Southgate was the manager, 2-0 down, came back to win 3-2, our first ever game in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
We finished 8th and just missed out on qualifying for the UEFA Cup by 1 point. So the UEFA Cup is now the Europa League?
Europa Cup, yeah.
So, that first game, what an amazing introduction, because Middlesbrough had Stuart Downing, they had Mark Viduka, I think, was it Schwarzer in goal?
Yeah.
Yeah, had some good players, didn't they? When going back to the season when Reading finished second and Middlesbrough finished first and went up to the Premier League, was that the season that Middlesbrough had Janino?
No, that was the season when we went down 98-99. So I remember Gazza, Merson playing. They came to Elm Park. The season went down 97-98.
Was it Paul Merson?
Yeah, Merson played. We played him in the Coca-Cola Cup, I think, in the quarterfinal. And we lost to a dodgy Craig Kignett goal. And then we played him in the league on a Saturday. We'd already, I think, pretty much were relegated by then, but we lost 1-0. But I remember the day because I literally had to leapfrog over the turnstiles because they were closing the gates because it was full. Yeah. And I managed to just literally... So they got distracted by one and I got in. But yeah, that was then they had Brian Robson in charge. Before, it was a slightly different team. They were on the way to the Premier League.
They had a good team.
Gazza and Merson. Yeah. Way better than, you know, for a championship. But they had that was Robson at the time, Gibson buying left, right and centre too.
They had a really well-known overseas player playing from that season, but I can't remember who it was. I can't remember. Anyway, the first season in the Premier League, first game against Middlesbrough, a little bit of revenge in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, listen to this. And bearing in mind, this wasn't all that many years ago. So 2006, 2007, how long ago is that? 17 years. It's quite a long time ago, actually, isn't it? It doesn't feel like it, does it?
No.
As you get older, the time goes quicker. So, but that season... This shows you how much things can change in the grand scheme of things, in a relatively short space of time. Reading did the double over Man City that season.
Yeah.
Imagine that. So we beat Man City 1-0 early on. So this is Reading's first season in the Premier League. We drew 1-1 with Man United. We beat Spurs 3-1.
Yeah.
Beat West Ham 6-0 on New Year's Day 2007. Mm-hmm. We beat Man City away, beat Aston Villa, beat Newcastle 1-0. And can you remember the last game of that season? Who it was against and what the score was?
Jeez, now where are we? The last game of the... Yeah, the 3-3 Blackburn. 3-3 Blackburn, wasn't it?
Yeah, Blackburn. Yeah. Last game against Blackburn.
Yeah.
Just what a brilliant season. This is at number two on my list of my own personal kind of favourite memorable Reading seasons. But I think this is the greatest Reading season in history. And I can understand why people would think it's the 106 season. I think those are the two greatest seasons in Reading's history.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the only team that I think we weren't good enough to compete with was Arsenal.
Yeah.
We seem to have to compete with United and Chelsea's and whatever. Arsenal were at a different apart from
in the FA Cup semi-final in 2015.
Yeah.
But yeah. Apart from that, I mean, Arsenal did the double.
And the 7-5.
Yeah, 7-5, 4-0 one game, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah. They were just,
So listen, we're now down to our personal all-time favourite / most memorable Reading season. So... what's made it to your number one spot, Johnny?
Yeah, you already mentioned it, and it's probably quite obvious. And I could have picked that Premier League season. I think because I didn't get to any games that season, so it's kind of a bit more of a something that, you know, if I was at a game, it meant a bit something or a moment in time. And obviously, the 106 season was that for me. And I made the QPR game flying over for that. The season following it as a fan, there's a few of the Reading fans that I'm still in touch with now, in our own Sydney Reading fans club. Not a huge Reading fans club in Sydney, but it was enough of us. In the season before, we'd kind of not really done anything to think that we would do what we were going to go and do. I think we ended up dropped seventh, I think. Need to beat Wigan on the last day to have a chance at the playoffs, but we weren't really, you know, we weren't really good enough. We had some okay results, but then, you know, changes of personnel. I think Nicky Forster left, didn't he? And he brought in, obviously, you know, players that we had, and it just went off after, you know, that first defeat. You know, it was unbelievable to see. I like actually probably the first time in a long time as a Reading fan, I actually did believe, because it felt like that team was almost invincible. I wasn't worried about going to play Sheffield United. I wasn't worried about any of the teams in that league, because they just took them apart.
Players,
and
players certainly believed it, didn't they? They went
and you could see it. Yeah. And even when, you know, when we needed a, you know, I think we sort of talked about it when, you know, Shane Long came on and equalised the Derby away, and, you know, the 88th minute or something, you know, there was always somebody that would come to the party when we needed a goal or a performance or whatever. And everyone in that team, like we've said before, it was also the, you know, the fringe players, the John Halls, the Chris Makins, John Oster, you know, they played a massive role as well when needed. But I think, you know, it was something, you know, I think old-fashioned football fans, you know, proper 4-4-2, when you had the wingers like Bobby Convey and probably the slowest winger in history in Glenn Little. But they complemented each other so well. And then when you kind of, you know, it's 25 minutes to go, Stephen Hunt would come on for one of them and offer something different. And then you're like, you know, the strikers, you know, like we've heard, I think Steve said, wasn't it? You know, luckily one of them always got injured, so we never had to make a choice. It was literally like who was available, and they played, and whatever played alongside each other worked. It wasn't ever like one didn't.
Yeah, and I think this is for me it's between those two seasons. So the 106 season, the first season in the Premier League, I would put that, the first season in the Premier League, as my greatest ever season because it's the Premier League, because we finished eighth.
Yeah.
But actually, it's kind of the two of them together, I think, are the two greatest seasons, because the 106 season, it wasn't just about the record. It wasn't just about the fact that we won the league and, you know, we were so good that season. But it was the fact that what it meant, the significance of it was that we're going up to the Premier League. I think that's the big main factor as to why that is, you know, without any shadow of a doubt, one of, if not the greatest Reading season of all time, because then it's finally Sir John Medeski's dream is realised and we're in the Premier League, and you've got fans there that can remember back to the days of Division 3, Division 4, playing against Aldershot and things like that. And also, I think that talking about that season and thinking about the season that we've just witnessed, night and day, isn't it? I mean, it wasn't just the fact that we had great players, but it was what those players brought to Reading. So, you know, you place any of those, and possibly with the exception of Andy Carroll, maybe Tom Holmes, maybe Tom McIntyre, it's just the team, the Reading team that we watched last season, compared to that 106 season, you know, the energy, the dynamism. Even going back to the team that Dylan was in, that was really badly lacking last season, and we need to get that back.
It's an identity, isn't it? It's a group of players that are there for one cause and to do it together, and to you know, they lead from and they, like, you know, teams get promoted to the Premier League and whatever, you know. Obviously, the second time we did, we got promoted and we were champions. And we deserved it. But the way we did that in 2005, I mean, we obliterated everyone. And nobody can say we were lucky. No one can say we didn't deserve it. you know, we were the champions, and with the points record still intact now, shows how good that team were. Any fan of any club, you know, I think that people still, like, they forget Reading's team that season because they're going about Burnley being the greatest championship side. But you, and then, you know, you chucked in the cost of the team on top of it. Like, how much wasn't it? And it was ridiculously small amount. There was a few
like free transfers in there, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Kevin Doyle, what, 70,000?
Yeah, and him and Shane Long, 80,000 in total. Like, I mean, geez, yeah, best transfer ever. But it was just, you know, the stadium was rocking. You know, everything that about being a Reading fan that you dream of.
Yeah,
started with that season, didn't it?
And also, we recently had an episode with Reading fans talking about, you know, what next for Reading, what do the club need to do in the summer, etc. Obviously talking about the manager, what type of players we need. I think it was Ian Thornhill, Reading fan, who's written a book about his dad, Rod Thornhill, who used to play for Reading. So the book's called Spider, available on Amazon, if you're interested. And I think it was Ian Thornhill on that episode made what I thought was a really good point, that if you think back to, you know, Reading teams from years gone by, you think about Kerry Dixon, Trevor Senior, they came from non-league. So Kerry Dixon was
Dunstable, wasn't
it? Dunstable. Trevor Senior was Dorchester.
Yeah.
And also you think about Dave Pitson signed from Cambridge, didn't he? And Kevin Doyle from Cork City.
Yeah.
You know, I agree with Ian. He said that we'll be able to unearth some gems from League One. Mm. I think certainly, you know, we could get some decent players from League Two. And I thought you made a really interesting point about next season, Johnny, about Andy Carroll being captain. I think that's a really interesting idea. I'm not sure it will actually happen, but I think it's a really good idea. Who else do you think might be captain next year if it isn't Andy Carroll? Would it be Holmes, McIntyre, maybe?
I think they're too young. If he stays for another season, I don't think he's the captain we need.
Okay.
He's been scarred by this season. A lot of players have been scarred. Andy Carroll wouldn't be scarred by this because of his experience. It's not
Andy Carroll makes sense because of his experience, his maturity. So I think the two things combined.
Yeah.
I think he's then a leader for the rest of the players. He's a senior player.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. So
and Tom Ince possibly if he stays. I don't know if he will because of what's happened. But again, you know, if he wants to stay, you know, at that level, and I don't know if Andy Carroll will or won't, but like if they do, you know, they could be two good leaders. I think for Tom Holmes and Tom Mack, they just need to concentrate on their game. They still need to learn and develop players. Let them do that.
And I think on the fans episode, again, you know, Ian Thornhill was saying this, and I agree. You know, if we'd have had this season, the midfield from last season, Rinomota, Josh Laurent, John Swift, I think probably we would have stayed up. Obviously, we didn't because of everything that's going on at the club. But we need to kind of now not directly replace those players, but find something like that. You know, the mid. He made a really good point. Even if you put Harry Kane up front, we probably might not have.
You need to find a pattern. You know, whatever the manager is, say it's Chris Wilders, and he has a style of play, whatever that is. Then you need to go right. It's the jigsaw. I think we talked about the jigsaw before, haven't we? You need to find the pieces.
You need a Phil Parkinson, and you need a Simon Osborne or a Sidwell or. So you need that balance in the middle of midfield, don't you? You need that kind of
you need creative, you need defensive, you need pace.
Yeah, top player, yeah.
You need a game changer. That's where you know the teams, you know, like which we haven't had that season. That's where Swift was missed so much because he could, well, all his faults, he would come up with something. He out of the blue, he could create a chance. Yeah. Tom Ince did that for a while, but then faded as the team faded. And, you know, and that's where there is players out there that can do that for sure, you know, League Two, League One.
I think with Tom Ince, I see him more because he played like, didn't he, last season, I think I'm right in saying, he played kind of as a central striker, didn't he?
He kind of played all over. He was kind of out on the wing, kind of played like me, number 10, number, you know.
For me, he's like, he's an attacking midfielder. He's a number 10. I think what we were lacking, so with talking about Tom Ince, he wasn't someone who could effectively supply Andy Carroll. I think that big problem last season was that it was aimless, hopeful balls up to Andy Carroll. He'd knock the ball down, which he's really good at. There's no one there. You need a Forster or a Cureton or a Tom Ince. So anyway, that's next season. So that's your number one.
Yeah.
My number one, you might be able to guess, I think. My number one, so this is my favourite, most memorable all-time Reading season. So I've gone for the 1985-1986 record-breaking Royals Division 3, Cannon League Division 3 champions. And the reason, one of the main reasons it's my favourite all-time Reading season is because that was my first proper season as a Reading fan. My dad was a director. And it was just amazing. So those guys, Trevor Senior, Martin Hicks, Michael Jilks, they're my Reading heroes. And we had like one of the greatest moments of that season was we're signing Terry Hurlock. And it's just everything. And watching Trevor Senior play, he was like, he's not like Erling Haaland, but one thing he did have in common with what Erling Haaland's doing now, he was a goal machine. That was pretty much all he was good at. But at that, he was a finisher. He scored a lot of goals from inside the 6 yard box. You know, him and Michael Jilks, my two all time favourite Reading players, and just a really exciting team to watch. So it was a record breaking Royals, won the first 13 games at the start of the season, Division 3 champions, 94 points, finished ahead of Plymouth and Derby. Quite a lot of wins that season were by one goal. Trevor Senior got 31. Some of the most memorable games that season were the 4-2 home win against Chesterfield. Trevor Senior got a hat-trick. The 2-0 win at Newport to break the record. The 2-2 home draw against Wolves, where the official crowd was 13,500. The actual crowd was about 28,000 or something like that. So one of my favourite games that season was the 1-0 draw away to Derby. And I think that's the game where Michael Jilks scored the goal. And I think it was really foggy. And Michael Jilks scored a really good goal. It was one of those shots from outside the area, and it just rises really nicely into the top corner. Obviously, the 4-3 against Plymouth coming from 3-0 down. Some other memorable games that season included 6-0 defeat away to Walsall, 4-3 win at Chesterfield. And one of the best games of that season was the 1-0 home win against Derby, again, Trevor Senior. I can't remember, but I think that clinched promotion, something like that. And that squad, this is my kind of all-time favourite Reading team, really. Gary Westwood in goal, Steve Wooden, Martin Hicks, centre-backs, Steve Richardson, Gary Peters, full-backs, Stuart Bevan in midfield, Andy Rogers, Jerry Williams, Trevor Senior up front, Michael Jilks, Mark White was also part of that team, Colin Bailey, Glenn Burville, Terry Hurlock, the Terminator, Terminator Terry in midfield. I don't know if you remember Nicky Plattner.
Yeah, Luton,
yeah.
Went on to play Luton, 12, I think.
Yeah. So, Johnny, let's do a recap on our countdowns, 5-1. So just just whiz down your 5-1 countdown of your
first, yeah,
most memorable seasons.
So the fifth was the 96-97 season, then the fourth 99-2000. Their third was 2001-2002, second was 2011-2012, and the first was the 05-06 season. But we could go, there could be 10 more.
Yeah. So here's my countdown, my 5-1 of my most memorable, favourite Reading season, my personal choice for Reading seasons. Number 5, 93-94 season, Division 2 champions. Number 4, 94-95 season, finished second in what is now the championship, but didn't go up automatically, lost in the playoffs. Number 3 for me was the 106 season, 2005-2006, going out to the Premier League for the first time. Number 2 was the 2006-2007 season, first season in the Premier League, finished 8th. And my all-time favourite Reading season, my most memorable season, was the 85-86 record-breaking Royals, who won the first 13 games at the start of the season and won the Division 3 championship. So that's it. Thanks for that, Johnny. So tomorrow we're continuing our Reading FC Top 100 series with our countdown of the top 5 greatest Reading managers. Again, our personal opinion. And then on Monday, we've got former Reading technical director Brian Teverden as our special guest. Tuesday, we're concluding our Reading FC Top 100 series with our top 5 influential people in Reading's history. Wednesday, we've got a returning guest, Andy Bernal. Thursday, our guest is Reading women's defender Lily Woodham. And on Friday, our guest is Linvoy Primus. So join us for those if you can, and hope you've enjoyed this episode. And feel free to get in touch and tell us what your most memorable favourite Reading season of all time is. So many thanks, Johnny, and thanks everyone for listening and watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.